Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's the famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh, what's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that?
Jim, Matt, and Molly continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. We're thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. And Jason, lots to take from the game. And I know we have a tight window with you. So I'll ask this question first with the Lions. And it just... The Lions are a team that is slightly better than the Packers. I think they've won 6 out of the last 7. They're 5-1 since 2022. They're not dramatically better. But the biggest difference I see, it's not even style of play. It's just the Detroit Lions from top to bottom, they're starting to remind me of like the Ravens and the Steelers, where like you have an exact identity. You know who you're playing, and the Detroit Lions know who they are from top to bottom. And that includes going for it on fourth down, whether it's in your own side of the field, up 3 on your 30-yard line and not getting it, or taking the big risk and putting your defense at risk, because if you don't get this fourth down, then Jordan Love has the ball with an opportunity to go win the game on a field goal. So the Detroit Lions, just they have a very strong identity top to bottom. And how much do you think that helps them in these tight games?
Yeah, Jason, what's up with that?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Jimmy. I like the fact that they have an identity, right? I mean, if you look at the Packers, what's the Packers' identity exactly? Right,
like I don't know.
You know, Rodgers and Favre kind of set that those teams' identity basically based on the star quarterback. That was the identity, and Love's not there yet, and their defense isn't well defined at this point. Josh Jacobs and the physicality seems to be becoming their identity a little bit, but like it seemed like LaFleur forgot about him the first 3 series.
Yeah,
so. You know, I think that's a really interesting point, and the fact of the matter is that sometimes aggressive is just plain stupid.
Yeah.
And I actually have a bigger problem with going for it on your own 30-yard line when you're kind of starting to gain control of the game, and even if you punt, your defense gets a stop, and now you go in and score on a more realistic field, and now you're, you know, up 10 again. As opposed to, I understood what the reasoning was for going for it on the fourth down. You're tied, so you're going to go to overtime, most likely, if you fail. But you also, if you succeed, you keep the ball out of Jordan Love's hands, and they have no chance to come back at you, right, and force a further overtime. So I know there were people that were killing them for it, but that was not... I thought that the one when you're up 24-21 and you're on your own 30-yard line was far more reckless than the one at the end.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I agree with you on that. So the question I had with this game is where do you – it was interesting how the Packers have, over the last few games, I think smartly kind of made Jordan Love – maybe almost not even the main focus of the offense. They've been leaning on Jacobs, and you reference it there, that the more they gave the ball to Jacobs, I think the more effective it makes Jordan Love. Do you think that, I mean, you mentioned LaFleur might forget it, do you think that that is their recipe for winning most games, is to not treat Jordan Love that he is the next Aaron Rodgers and treat him as he's Jared Goff, where you use the run game to set up the pass and you let him make good, quick decisions with a strong arm and make some plays instead of making him go out there and be the playmaker?
Yeah, I think somewhere in between those two options, Jim, is where they need to live, right? Because, look, I've defended Jared Goff. My cohort, Tausch, loves to diss him. Oh, no, he's a good quarterback as long as he's on the spot and as long as it's in rhythm. Otherwise, you know, you could rattle. And Tausch isn't wrong, by the way.
That throw to Antonio, that St. Brown throw at the end of the game was, he had McDuffie in his chin.
Yeah. That was
after McDuffie did a front flip.
But he still got it off with pressure.
Oh, yeah, McDuffie didn't even put his hands up. He was just running.
But like, do you see Jared Goff being able to make that throw that Love makes to Watson, not the 59-yarder, the one where he's caught up in the wash of the pass rush, and he flips his hips, and he basically like levitates and does like a jump cut that a running back would make to throw that ball to Watson on the left side. Like, I'll say this, I was really impressed. It made me think, this is the same guy that I used to say I haven't seen enough wild throws from.
True.
And now look at what a wild throw that is. So, you know, look, somewhere in between, though, I do think is where they need to live. That don't put the game entirely on him, because when you do that, he makes some boneheaded, risky decisions. But give him enough leeway to make some of those opportunities. But make sure you're running the ball. Make sure you're running play action. The core of this offense from the minute he got here, LaFleur, I mean, was that this is supposed to be a play-action offense. And they don't do it as much. They've kind of evolved. But that I think, still has to be, especially with a guy as good as Jacobs. It pains me to say this, but he is better than Aaron Jones. He's different, but he is better. And with a guy like that on your team, you got to use him, and you got to make things easier on your quarterback because you have him.
Absolutely. And for Love, it just, the reason why I said to Goff, what did he complete? 75% of his passes. He's steady Eddie. You're right. He can't make that throw, but take it from a guy in Chicago. Like, I love what Caleb Williams doing, and we point to all the great throws, but all I hear is he needs to go play like Jared Goff and have consistency throughout the entire game. The wild throws are spectacular in Chicago too. Jordan Love is in his fifth year in the league and his second season as a starter. I just think that the more they run the ball in a very positive way, the more he looks like Jared Goff, who's a quarterback who's been to a Super Bowl, has gotten to an NFC Championship game, has won multiple divisions. He's a winning quarterback. And I guess that's what I was getting to. No, Jordan Love's ceiling is way higher.
Yeah, my out isn't as hard as I made Wooly thinks, so we can keep talking. But
sorry.
I just got to pick up Maddie from gymnastics. But I would say this. I agree with you on everything you said about Goff. I just think that Love has more natural talent. And when you have a guy with a little bit more talent, it's a lot. And look, I think Jared Goff is very realistic about who he is. I think he knows he's better than he gets credit for. But I think he also knows his limitations, which I think we should all be better at that, right? Like, we should all recognize our limitations. You don't need me trying to do a Howard Stern-style show or expecting to be a national host. That's not what I don't have that talent that he does. So I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that they need a little more Jared Goff from Love, but there's also going to be times, and quite frankly, to beat the Lions, if they see him again in the playoffs, they might need Jordan Love to be more like Aaron Rodgers in like Atlanta in 2010 and be able to put the team on his back. Because if I'm the Lions and I do have to play these guys again, I am saying, come hell or high water, I am not letting Josh Jacobs beat me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing.
Did we get, like, you know, when you're on a date and, like, if it's going well, you're like, never mind, I don't need to take the call. I feel like that's kind of what happened with Jason and his heart out. He's like, okay, these questions are all right. I'll hang around. So go ahead and ruin it, Matt. Ask your question.
Yeah.
In fairness to me, the text that I sent to Wooly was, I'd like to be out 5:45 or 4:45-ish. So it wasn't like, I got to be out at 4:45. And I'm not throwing Wooly under the bus. He is such a good dude.
Trying to respect your time.
His arms are crossed right now.
And by the way, you guys never respect my time. So I appreciate him trying to make you do that.
Exactly. For once, I was trying to be respectful.
Now, Jason, we just want to ask more than two questions. So like, that's why we just want, you know, to be able to get all your time.
Sure. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, Jason, I kind of just have like a feeling, and I want to know if it's right or wrong in your eyes.
I've got a feeling.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've got a feeling that Matt LaFleur, there's no adjustments being made in the first half. Like, we've seen it go well in the first half, and we roll, and away we go. But when it doesn't, like, the first quarter doesn't start the way, like, I want it, I feel like there's no big change that happens until second half. And I know that might be hard because you can get the whole team together in the locker room at halftime, but, like, am I crazy for thinking that we just stick with the same scheme that they had practiced for the first half, and then when they have to make an adjustment, they just do it at halftime? And should they be trying to do something a little bit sooner? Because a half of a football game might not be enough to overcome whatever deficit you put yourself in?
Yeah, you're crazy. So here's why you're crazy.
Yeah, tell me why I'm crazy.
So I think yesterday was actually proof of the opposite. And it's not a good thing. But here's why. So the first three series, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the first three series, they go punt, fumble by Watson, right, mm-hmm. at the end of the 20-yard catch. Like, Love completed three passes in the first half. One of them was the 20-yarder. It was for 31 yards total. But the one play that was a good play ends in a fumble. I mean, they were bad in terms of the pass game. But yet, and this is my issue with his game plan yesterday, and I would say this to Matt if he'd have been available today. I get it last year on Thanksgiving when you're a 4-6 team and you feel like you got to go in there and be bold, right? So he goes up top on the very first play to Watson. It works. And it kind of sets the tone, like, we ain't scared of these guys. Let's go. And they go and win on Thanksgiving. My issue is that this year's team is not last year's team. And it was almost, to me, like he looked around after the first three series and said, oh, my God, Josh Jacobs, what are you doing here? I forgot you were here. And then they finally started running the football against a depleted defensive line. And I was like, why didn't you... If it was me, and again, I'm sure he had his reasons, but you don't need to go up top and get your quarterback sacked for a 7-yard loss on the opening play. And I didn't like it before he got sacked. I didn't like it as he was dropping back. Because if I'm them, I'm saying I'm going to wear your you-know-what out with Josh Jacobs. You got a bunch of backups playing your defensive line. We're going to run and run and run, and we're going to possess the ball. Instead, they end up the night like, the Lions had 70-ish plays, and the Packers had 45. Hmm. It's like 68-45, and you can't win. Like, Love threw 20 passes. He had 12 completions. So that's how Jaden Reed ends up without a single catch. So I don't think you're an idiot, but I do think that there are times where I question his in-game adjustments. I just don't question last night's because I think it's the opposite, where he went in with a not so great idea and then finally realized and adjusted and had success.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like the first half, most of the time against teams that I feel like are good, we don't have the right plan, and then he figures it out in the second half. My question is, why didn't he figure out
earlier last night?
Yes, you're right.
He didn't wait till the halftime. He did it on their fourth drive.
That's true. It was a little bit earlier, but he still never figured out that their most dynamic playmaker got one target and didn't touch the ball all game. My fantasy team hurts, but Jaden Reed needs the ball.
Yeah. No. He's on your team, isn't he?
Well, of course he is. And I did not expect a goose egg. Like, I could have been like, hey, the Lions have a pretty solid defense. They know what they're doing. He might not have a great game, but to be targeted once and to not get an end around or any sort of you get the ball to your best players. Jacobs, one of our best players, didn't really get the ball until, like you said, the fourth or fifth drive. Jaden Reed never got the ball, and I would call them 1A, 1B for offensive playmakers on this football team.
Detroit.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm regretting the no hard out thing right about now.
So am I.
No.
I'm loving it. I totally
get it, Matt. I really do. I just wanted to make that joke. But I would say this. I'm kind of irritated with LaFleur. Not as irritated as he was with that idiot fan before the game.
Oh, yeah.
But it would have been nice if he would have talked today. Obviously, I wasn't in Detroit, and they only get so many questions post-game. LaFleur does not. He's not like Holmgren, who would stand up there for a half hour after a game. But I would love to know a couple of things about last night, but I would also like to know, is there something wrong with Reed? Like, does he have an injury that they're limiting his... Because he only played 25 snaps. Like, Wicks played like 38, 36, somewhere in there. I think Watson played almost all of their 45 snaps. And so is he nursing some sort of injury? Was that part of it? Because he was not only was he not productive when he was on the field, he wasn't on the field as much as I expect him to be. So there's something there, and obviously I didn't get to ask him that today because he didn't talk. But that'll be something that bears watching, because you're right. Regardless of your what's the name of your fantasy team?
He's got seven. Just give us one.
Yeah, the star of the show.
Seven.
No, I have four. I have four teams. Jim.
The star of the show? It's not even something clever, like, that's curling related? I'm so disappointed right now.
Yeah, so two of them are dynasty leagues that have themes, so you can't really be super creative with it. And one of them is the ESPN league that we drafted in.
Mine is DeAndre Swifties. His mine is better than yours.
Cool.
Yeah, yours is better. Yeah, yours is better. No doubt.
I just didn't want anyone to have any doubt about the situation. I know I'm sandwiched in the middle of the show title.
They would think it's Molly.
I know. And I played Molly last week, and it was important to me that the star of the show won.
Let's respect Jason's time a little bit today on a Friday. Jason, thanks so much for hopping on.
You're great, Jason.
I'm just happy to have been the star of the show.
You definitely were. Thank you.
Thank you.
The team at Canopy Wealth Management take time to truly get to know and understand the dynamics of your values, goals, and plans for your financial future. Their local professional team brings over 90 years of collective experience in the wealth management industry to the table for the benefit of their clients at Canopy. Care, competence, and clarity is not just a tagline. It's a promise. Go to canopy-wealth.com to get started today. That's canopy-wealth.com. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are going to play Green and Gold Blind Rankings next.
You're listening live from St. John's, Newfoundland. The Newfies love Jim, Matt, and Molly. 100.5 ESPN Madison.